Afghanistan is struggling to reopen for business. Soviet occupation, bloody conflict, and months of U.S. airstrikes have scared off most of the world from considering Afghanistan a possible market. We'll look at Afghan investment opportunities post-Taliban, but first, long before September 11th, Afghanistan did have the attention of big oil companies. They needed Afghan officials to allow a pipeline through their country that would connect oil fields in southern Asia to lucrative markets in India. Now that the Taliban have been overthrown, the pipeline project appears stalled. NPR's Steve Inskeep reports.
Even on its best day, this plan was an outrageous risk. Energy companies wanted to drill for oil and gas in the Central Asian desert, ship the minerals by pipeline across war-torn Afghanistan, and sell them on the other side in Pakistan and India, two nuclear powers often close to war with each other. But the energy industry thrives on risk, and after the Soviet Union collapsed, oil companies battled each other for the right to try the project. A consortium led by the American company Unocal signed an agreement with the region's most autocratic ruler, Sabarmurat Niyazov. He's the president of Turkmenistan.
He really has created a cult of personality in Turkmenistan that would have made Stalin jealous.
Martha Brill Olcott analyzes Central Asian issues.
His picture's in the corner on every television broadcast, you know, they have this little silhouette. There's a cult of his mother because, of course, he couldn't have come on this earth without somebody to facilitate his arrival.
Whatever his failings, Niyazov's government controlled enormous oil and gas fields. The U.S. government supported Unocal's efforts to exploit them. The U.S. wanted to strengthen the independence of the former Soviet republics by promoting trade routes that did not go through Russia. But first, the oil companies needed permission to push that pipeline through Afghanistan, which is why they hired a consultant named Charlie Santos. He's a former United Nations official with long experience in Afghanistan. Santos promoted the building of a gas pipeline even as the Taliban was gaining control in a bloody civil war.
What really got me interested in this was the idea that you could use this pipeline as a way of sort of bringing the different parts of the country together.
The oil companies began working with the Taliban in the mid-1990s, at about the same time it was seizing power. Analyst Martha Brill Olcott, who worked as a consultant for Unocal, says the plan's backers promoted the pipeline as good for Afghanistan.
It created jobs for the Afghans. It created transit income for the Afghans. They would have to be demining along all those routes. There would be training programs because there would have to be some indigenous workforce. It was almost as if it was like one of the FDR New Deal projects.
Unocal spent millions of dollars promoting its plan. It even financed schools in Afghanistan. Jobless Afghans learned mechanical skills, hoping they would soon go to work on the project. Journalist Ahmed Rashid chronicled Unocal's efforts to court Taliban leaders.
Several Taliban delegations came to the United States, and at least two were at the invitation of Unocal, with all their expenses paid by Unocal. And Unocal sent them round to the State Department in Washington and showed them its own oil infrastructure and its facilities in Texas. But essentially, at the end of the day, the Taliban themselves had not committed themselves to going in with any pipeline.
The potential pipeline deal was one of several reasons that U.S. diplomats reached out to the Taliban when it first came to power. The deal didn't fall apart until 1998, when the U.S. launched a cruise missile strike in an effort to kill Osama bin Laden in Afghanistan. After September 11, numerous books and articles, especially in Europe, suggested that the United States went to war in Afghanistan, at least partly to protect its energy interests. Yet now that the Taliban is gone, the energy industry appears to be losing interest in the country. U.S. officials, industry spokesmen, and analysts say that no Western oil company wants to build a pipeline now, though Afghanistan has signed an agreement to allow it. Afghanistan remains unstable. And as for Pakistan and India, U.S. officials visiting those countries have warned that their nuclear confrontation does not encourage investment. Unocal has publicly announced that it will not participate in the pipeline. Former industry consultant Charlie Santos says it may take years before the project could make sense.
There really wasn't a market in Pakistan. What you really needed for this pipeline to work was the Indian market. If you didn't have the Indian market, it made it much, much less interesting.
Some analysts say that's bad for Afghanistan. World Bank officials say a pipeline could produce money and jobs. The U.S. State Department official who oversees energy projects in the region agrees. But Steve Mann says the United States can only support a project that makes economic sense. Oil companies and the U.S. government are promoting a variety of other pipeline routes out of other Central Asian nations. And for now, at least, Afghanistan will have to manage its recovery without a share of Central Asia's energy wealth. Steve Inskeep, NPR News, Washington.